Welcome, everyone. I'm Reba Sparrow, and today we dance like everybody's watching on the Mystery Box Show podcast. Y'all, I was beyond thrilled with this storyteller because I've actually known him for over 20 years because we went to college together at the University of Northern Colorado for performing arts. And this is a person that I stayed in touch with over the years through social media, but we hadn't really connected. He lives in New York City. I live in Portland. We're on opposite sides of the country. And he actually, during the pandemic, wrote a story, and it was published in an online publication. And I read it, and I reached out to him, and I said, "Jason, will you please tell an oral version of the story? Will you work with us? This story needs to be told. It needs to reach as wide an audience as we can get it to." And he said, "Yes, yes, of course." And he jumped at the chance, and we had so much fun working together. I can't wait to share this with you. Please welcome into your ear holes, Jason VC.
"I'm in a dance rehearsal, and I need help. Correction. I'm in a dance rehearsal after being appointed dance captain for a play that I've been working on for 7 years, and I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. I'm lost, I'm stuck, and our brilliant choreographer, Rasha Feather Kelly, is staring at me, waiting for me to get my shit together. You can see in his face that he's saying, 'Girl, what is your problem? What is wrong with you?' And he's just waiting for me to figure out. He's not offering up any help, not near one suggestion. He is just waiting for me to start swimming out the deep end of this pool that I am drowning in. And I'm freaking the fuck out." And this crazy thing happens. Remember that show, That's a Raven? If you don't, she was this teenager and she was kind of psychic. And when she would have a vision, she would open her eyes and she would have this flash to the future or to the past. And I have this flash to the past of myself between the ages of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Young me. And I'm in prime FMSTA phase, what my father likes to call future Miss Things of America. In my room, lip syncing to the classics. Janet, Mariah, Anita Baker, Freddie Mercury, but mostly the ladies. In front of my stuffed animals, my G.I. Joes, my Transformers, what have you. My room. I'm in my space, living my best life, putting on concerts. And when you're in FMSTA, the world starts to notice. And I'll never forget a family friend of ours, Mr. Golden, came up to my mom and said, "Why don't you let that boy be a sissy? Huh?" And I remember that's when something clicked. And I don't remember feeling hurt. I just remember thinking that I definitely don't want my mom to have to deal with that anymore. And so a shift happened. It was as if I separated from myself and I realized a couple of things. One, that I was a sissy. I never thought about that before. And two, that that was not a good thing. And so the shift happened where sissy stepped to the side and boy, as I like to call him, came forward. And so it became this trio in our room. Sissy, Boy, and Jason. And there'd be times when Sissy would take a solo. There'd be times when Boy would take a solo. I would take a solo. Sometimes we would all be performing together. But it stayed contained in my bedroom for only me to see. Now, flash forward to junior high school. I'm at a performing arts junior high school. And I am auditioning for a production of Bye Bye Birdie. I was super excited, and I really, really wanted the role of Conrad Birdie, which is a role that is based off of Elvis Presley. And I didn't get that, but I didn't care. I was just excited to be in the room. I got the part of Harvey Johnston, this awkward, geeky teenager. And the show was great. I had the best time. I was finally doing theater and being a theater kid and living my best theater kid dreams. And we get to the cast party where we're watching one of the performances from the run. And it's the first time I see myself on tape. And all I see are long limbs, limp wrists, and a sissy. And in that moment, I said to myself, that's why you didn't get Conrad Birdie, because you're a sissy. And immediately, I said, you got to make a change. I said this to myself. You have to make a change. You can no longer put yourself in a position where you're going to be picked on. You can no longer put yourself in a position where someone might be embarrassed of you. And you definitely can no longer be put in a position where you don't get a part that you want because you act like a girl and you're a sissy. So Boy now became our spokesperson for the group. Now, I do want to clarify something. I don't want to give off the impression that Boy entirely was some sort of mask or false part of my personality. It definitely started off as a little bit of a defense and a means to get through junior high school and all of high school. But it was more of me just highlighting another part of me. Boy was not false. Boy was a protector, and Boy loved all of us just as much as Jason loved all of us and Sissy loved all of us. Boy is very important, and I love Boy, and Boy loves me. So we get through high school, and we fare well in high school, and then we get to college. I'm going to college for theater, and that's where Boy kicked in. I remember being in a show, and I was given the direction to tap a pencil, and it wasn't a big moment at all. But I remember looking at myself tapping this pencil on this desk, and again, all I saw was the limpness and flimsiness of my wrist. And in that moment, I stiffened up my wrist, and all I could see was the limp wrist. Nothing else. Everything kind of zoned out around me. And that's when I realized how much more work, quote unquote, I had to do to lean into Boy. That meant puffing up your chest, squaring your shoulders, even deepening my already low voice, not using so much hip action when I walk. All those things that I thought called me out or outed me as a sissy. But to my surprise, those efforts, along with studying and all the other things that come along with being in theater, made me very successful. Boy got us cast. Boy got girls' attention. Boy got boys' attention when I was ready for that journey. And by the time I graduated, I was ready to move to New York and conquer the city that I had always dreamed of moving to. Now, this whole time, Sissy's there cheering us on, not necessarily present, but still in the room. And when I got to New York, Boy was responsible for me booking jobs. Boy was responsible for me having as much sex as possible. Boy was responsible for me making a lot of mistakes and getting away with it. Boy was responsible for so many things. And I was living the dream and doing what I wanted to do and having the best time being whatever version of Jason at the time I thought was needed. Flash to 7 years ago in 2012, when I'm recommended by my friend Randy Blair to his friend Michael R. Jackson. He wanted me to come in and audition for his show. So I come in and I immediately am drawn to Michael R. Jackson's words, his work, his energy, his person, and this piece in general called A Strange Loop. It actually wasn't an audition. It was more of an interview. And that started a journey of me being a part of the best piece of theater that I've ever been a part of. Now, in the spring of 2019, we are rehearsing for a big splashy production at Playwrights Horizons, and I am dance captain, which means that I am responsible for making sure that the show looks good via the choreography and the movement. And I'm in this situation where I have no idea what to do. Now, there's some information you should know. A Strange Loop is a musical about a Black gay theater musical writer writing about a Black gay theater musical writer writing about, and so on and so on. It's very meta. And it's very, 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 very gay and very, 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 very Black. And we had just introduced the element of a choreographer in the form of Raja Feather Kelly. And yes, I have to say his full name all the time, Raja Feather Kelly. Raja Feather Kelly is this amazing theater, dance, movement, storytelling guru, Gemini fairy, god person that has this incredible way of bringing things out of you by knowing something about yourself that you have yet to have figured out. And he does this thing where he looks at you and he kind of waves his fingers up and down along the perimeter of your body. It's a combination of casting spell fingers and an auntie telling you to go sit down somewhere in the house, if that makes any sense. And he does that while he's studying you or trying to figure you out. Whatever it is, when he's giving you that look, you know that you also need to start thinking and digging deeper. And he was constantly trying to urge us to lean into our fierceness, our fearlessness, and our faggotry. Now, something you should know about Strange Loop, it centers on one character, and then the rest of the ensemble play what we call the thoughts. And within being a thought, you are asked to run the gamut of different kinds of spectrums, from gender to race, and the spectrum of masculine to feminine energy, whatever that means for you. And we, meaning Jason and Boy, were having a hard time leaning into what that meant for us. To the naked eye, you would say, Jason, what's your problem? You're hitting all the steps correctly. You're executing them flawlessly. But it just still felt a little untrue. Not false, but untrue, if that makes any sense. And it was getting frustrating. And that's where I was feeling stuck. I knew for myself that it wasn't in the pocket again. And I was having a very, very hard time incorporating this certain aspect of the piece, which is this. The central character is Usher, and then it's an ensemble of actors referred to as the thoughts. And when you are a thought, you are challenged to move throughout the spectrum, and that's with race, with gender, and that tricky spectrum of what is considered masculine and feminine energy, whatever that means for you. Some people were challenged to lean into their butch side and vice versa. And in a lot of moments for me, it was leaning into the femme side. And like I said, I thought I was doing well and it just wasn't hitting it. And then something hit me in that moment that there was someone who could help. The person that was responsible for my sense of wonder, my imagination, my sense of play. I had never, ever, ever once thought to invite them to come and play. So I thought, this is the moment. It's time to bring Sissy. So I invited Sissy to come. And when she came into the room, everything clicked. Raja put his fingers down. He started smiling. The choreography hit different. It lived in my body different. You know, when someone finally gets their chance to do what they've always been wanting to do, it's a beautiful thing. Watching Sissy come into the room, backed by Anita and Janet and Mariah and a little bit of Freddie, was one of the most important decisions I've ever made in my life. And Sissy showed up and showed out. It wasn't just a showgirl walk. I was the lead in Vegas. I was the headliner. I was exactly who I was at 5, 6, 7, 8. And Sissy continued to show up in other scenes that had nothing to do with being femme. Sissy was the key to this trio. And so now was Sissy with Boy and all of Jason on that stage. And it made the world of difference for me in the show. It transformed a show that I loved to being a show that I needed. It helped me solidify the fact that I myself deserved to be in that room. And there was a reason why I was kept for that show for 7 years. Raja's giving me the smile of approval, which is, just means everything. You know, the finger stopped wagging, the scowl stopped going. And we ended up being a great hit. We won the Pulitzer Prize for drama. And I say that all to say that I've been in a hit show before, but this was the first time where Sissy was a spokesperson, where Sissy was the lead singer and dancer, and Sissy got to shine every moment that I was on stage. My parents got to see the show. Seeing them after the show was great. My mother looked flawless as always, and I was talking to them about what they thought about the show. And my mom said, you know, I never thought that someone would allow my child to be all of themselves on stage. And that was just one of the best compliments I could have ever gotten from one of the best critics I've ever talked to. And that taught me something. It taught me that A, my instincts are right about myself as a person, and B, no matter what role or show I'm doing, I'm never gonna walk on stage without Sissy ever again. Ever. Ever.
Jason, VC, everyone, that story makes me feel all the feels. All the feels, especially as a mom. When his mom says to him, this show lets my son be all of who he is. I can't even handle it. It's just such a great moment. Let us know what you think about this story. You can get in touch with us on Facebook, Instagram, or email. All of the links are at mysteryboxshow.com. And you can find Jason on Instagram and Twitter at VCVille. And you can get the Estranged Loop cast recording, which I highly recommend, on all streaming platforms streaming right now. You should check it out because it's brilliant. We'll have all of those links for you in the show notes. Our next live stream is happening on February 14th for our special Valentine's Day show, Sexy Stories to Enjoy with Your Special Valentine or Valentines or by yourself. You can be your own damn Valentine. And tickets are also available right now on the website. We'll have all of those links in the show notes for you as well. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/mysteryboxshow, where you can interact with us on an even more personal basis, plus get early access to all of our podcast episodes and YouTube videos for as little as $5 a month, or more, depending on how much you want to contribute. Our music comes from our friend Farnell Newton and the Othership Connection. Our audio engineer is Greg Keenan at Sound Minion Studios in Longmont, Colorado. Thanks to our production assistant, Nicole Perkins, my co-producer, Eric Scheuer. I'm your mistress of ceremonies, Reba Sparrow. On our next episode, sex gets metaphysical.
Time and space dissolve. It's like the edges of the body seem to disappear, diffuse. It's that crazy oneness thing.
Tune in next time on the Mystery Box Show podcast.